Well, good afternoon, and let me add my welcome to that of Pastor Lawton. And if you are back for the very first time, welcome. Welcome back. You've been greatly missed. And I trust it's hard to navigate. But, you know, my understanding would be that once folk get their second vaccine, I think you wait, what, a couple of weeks or something? Isn't that the wisdom? And then we should see an uptick in return to church and return to Sunday school and Bible studies and food. And chef wants to cook supper on Sunday nights and breakfast for supper, bacon, all of that stuff. So we have to work on some logistics as to how to do that, while others have not yet had any vaccination. You know, we've got some logistical issues to work on. How many of you are thinking of coming back for Easter for the first time? Is Easter sort of on your calendar? Put your hands up. Pretend you're Baptist for me. Put your hands up. Okay. We're thinking of doing some additional Easter services, like we did for Christmas Eve. Well, if you have access to a Bible other than the printed one in the bulletin, I actually want to read the whole chapter, Proverbs 8, because there's something I want to refer to in the first section, verses 1 to 11, and there's also something I want to refer to right at the very end of Proverbs 8. So if you don't have access to a Bible, just pretend, just listen, and then you can catch it. When I reach verse 12, you can pick it up from there. Does not wisdom call? Does not understanding raise her voice? On the heights, beside the way, at the crossroads, she takes her stand. Beside the gates in front of the town, at the entrance of the portals, she cries aloud. To you, O men, I call, and my cry is to the children of men. O simple ones, learn prudence. O fools, learn sense. Hear, for I will speak noble things, and from my lips will come what is right, for my mouth will utter truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are righteous. There is nothing twisted or crooked in them. They are all straight to him who understands and right to those who find knowledge. Take my instruction instead of silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold, for wisdom is better than jewels. And all that you may desire cannot compare with her. Now, we pick it up at verse 12. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and I find knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is hatred of evil, pride and arrogance, and the way of evil and perverted speech I hate. I have counsel and sound wisdom. I have insight. I have strength. By me kings reign and rulers decree what is just. By me princes rule and nobles, all who govern justly. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently find me. Riches and honor are with me, enduring wealth and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, even fine gold, and my yield than choice silver. I walk in the way of righteousness, in the paths of justice, granting an inheritance to those who love me and filling their treasuries. The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his work, the first of his acts of old. Ages ago, I was set up at the first, before the beginning of the earth, when there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no springs abounding with water, before the mountains had been shaped, before the hills, I was brought forth. Before he had made the earth with its fields, or the first of the dust of the world, when he established the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep, when he made firm the skies above, when he established the fountains of the deep, when he assigned to the sea its limit, so that the waters might not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him like a master workman, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing before him always, rejoicing in his inhabited world and delighting in the children of man. Now, O sons, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise, and do not neglect it. Blessed is the one who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting beside my doors. For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who fails to find me injures himself. All who hate me love death. Well, we are walking, or perhaps perambulating, there's a nice word for today, perambulating through Proverbs, a couple of P's, perambulating, walking leisurely, or leisurely, as you say, through the book of Proverbs. We've skipped over 5, 6, and 7. It was all about adultery. Another time, another place. We come to Proverbs 8. There's a lot of discussion about Proverbs 8. One of the very first sermons I ever preached. Fools rush in where angels fear to tread, they say. And I took the prologue of John's Gospel. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And the Word, verse 14, was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. In the beginning was the Word. And I pontificated, 22, 23-year-old that I was, I pontificated for 20 minutes, 30 minutes, on whether or not John, the apostle, was alluding to the 8th chapter of Proverbs when he ascribed to Jesus the title Word. Because here in Proverbs 8, and scholars debate it as to whether or not here we have a distinct representation of the second person of the Trinity, whether this is Jesus that's being depicted here in shadow, or more probably this is a dramatic personification of what is essentially a divine attribute, the wisdom of God. Either way, you will remember that the Apostle Paul refers to Jesus as the wisdom of God in the opening two chapters of 1 Corinthians, and again in the second chapter of Colossians. He is the wisdom. He epitomizes the wisdom of God. Wisdom in the Old Testament is feminine. That's because women are wise. That was a little joke. So the personification here, if it were to be a distinct divine person is a little difficult since it's the feminine that's used here. Wisdom is a she. And she is pleading with young men, especially, to be wise, to wise up, to learn wisdom, to love wisdom, to treasure wisdom, to see its value, to shun its opposite, foolishness, to hear good counsel that will enable you to be who you were meant to be, and to glorify God in every conceivable action of yours. You see at the end, it's not in the bulletin, verse 36, it's a matter of life and death. If you pursue wisdom, you will find life, true life, everlasting life, redeemed life, heavenly life. And if you shun wisdom, you will find death. Thomas Gray, this was a poem I was forced to learn in high school. Ode on a distant project of Eton College. And he pictures students playing from his professor's office. He pictures students, Oxford College students, playing on a field, oblivious to all that may lie ahead. They're simply in the moment. Alas, regardless of their doom, the little victims play. No sense have they of ills to come, nor care beyond today. And then in his conclusion, he draws the conclusion that sometimes it's just better to be ignorant. Sometimes it's better not knowing. Yet, why should they know their fate, since sorrow never comes too late, and happiness too swiftly dies? Thought would destroy their paradise. No more. Where ignorance is bliss, 'tis folly to be wise. Where ignorance is bliss, 'tis folly to be wise. Solomon draws that conclusion in the beginning of Ecclesiastes. But sometimes it's a rather cynical sort of conclusion to draw. Sometimes it's better not to know. But here, the opposite is being put forth, that it's better to know. It's better to have knowledge, God's knowledge for you, God's knowledge to make you the man or woman of God that you were intended to be. It's a plea for wisdom, because we are fools. Let me tell a story. There is a course that you can take at Wyoming University in the Department of English. It's a program that is sponsored by NASA. It's in the English department. It's called Interstellar Message Composition. There's an assignment, and the assignment is to write a 10-word simple message that can be sent out into space and to other beings, life forms, intelligent life forms. What would you say? And the professor of record said that they had thought a lot about how to do this, but not a lot about what to say. And so one professor suggested a 9-word message. We are an adolescent species searching for our identity. We are an adolescent species searching for our identity. That, ladies and gentlemen, is the university of today. And God help us. Now, Proverbs 8 is speaking into that kind of ignorance, that kind of foolishness. What is wisdom? Well, wisdom is knowing who you are. Wisdom is knowing what you are. Wisdom is knowing what God intends for you and how you can achieve that. Wisdom is knowing where wisdom can be found. Proverbs 8 says in verse 11, it is better than jewels. It is to be highly prized. It's the greatest of all treasures. Now, the Bible warns about another kind of wisdom, the wisdom of the world, the wisdom of Wyoming University. See to it, Paul writes to the Colossians. And there was a thing in the church at Colossae about super spiritual mindedness, and therefore some were claiming a wisdom that wasn't a godly wisdom. Some were claiming that they were getting wisdom from angelic beings, I think. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. There are all kinds of sources of wisdom out there. Voices seeking your attention, websites claiming to be wise, giving you insight and knowledge. And you need to exercise a prudence. You need to exercise a godly wisdom. Take care. You're traveling among fools. You are surrounded by them. Let me say three things. And I guess it's not 20 past seven, so let me check my watch. First of all, in verse 13, it begins, and this is an oft-cited statement in Proverbs and elsewhere. Wisdom begins, it is derived from, it is rooted in the fear of the Lord. A sort of holy trembling as you come into his presence, that you acknowledge that God is, and that he is the only God there is, and that he is the creator and sustainer of all things. And you come to him reverently. You come to him humbly, with a humble mind and a humble spirit, bowing. One of our greatest needs is an epistemological repentance, a repentance of how we view truth and reality to be. And we need to repent of it. We come before him in all of his greatness and wisdom. Here she describes herself as being present with God at the time of creation, at the time of the formation of mountains and hills and seas and rivers and so on. The cosmic power of wisdom, the Lord of Lords and Lords and King of Kings, that is wisdom. Directing and governing and constructing. Wisdom, first of all, means acknowledging that the source of wisdom lies in God. It's an attitude of mind. It's a disposition of one's spirit. It's a mindset. God is great and we are small. True wisdom can only be found in him. Displayed to us in all of its magnificence and beauty in the Lord Jesus, who is described as the wisdom of God. Matthew 12:42, the queen of the south will rise up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it. For she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, something greater than Solomon is here. Solomon was a wise man, for sure. But a greater than Solomon is here. And it's that wisdom that shines in the face of God's Son, the Lord Jesus. Wisdom, then, is a divine character quality of God. That God graciously reproduces in human beings who humble themselves to him, trust in his Son, indwelt by his Holy Spirit, recipients of generous grace. And to all who heed it, to all who sincerely seek wisdom, that wisdom will be given. It'll grant life, life in all of its fullness. The life that we first experience at the first movements of the Spirit within us that assures us that we have been translated from the kingdom of darkness and folly and into the kingdom of light and wisdom. That wisdom which is found, of course, in Scripture as God's infallible and inerrant word to guide us from here to the celestial city. It is life's priority. It is better than jewels. It is the number one thing that we live for, ask for, plead for, pray for, search for. And when we find it, we treasure it with all of our hearts. You notice in verse 12, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence. There was many a lady called Prudence in the past, not so common today, but in the past, in 19th century novels, there was often a Prudence. Bunyan, of course, had a character called Prudence. What is prudence? What's the difference in wisdom and prudence? You know, we use the word prudent in a way to suggest being careful. Being careful sometimes to the point of it being a fault, but to be careful. The kind of attitude that saves for a rainy day, prudent. Prudence refers to caution, the careful use of wisdom. There's wisdom, and then there's a careful use of wisdom in certain situations. The automaker Henry Ford asked an electrical genius by the name of Charlie Steinmetz to build generators for his factory. One day the generators came to a grinding halt and the repairman couldn't find the problem, so Ford called Steinmetz, who tinkered with the machines for a few hours and then threw the switch and the generators whirred back into life again. And Ford got a bill for $10,000. He was shocked, flabbergasted. And the rather tight-fisted car maker inquired why the bill was so high. And Steinmetz replied, "For tinkering with the generators, $10. For knowing where to tinker, $9,990. And Ford paid the bill. There's wisdom and then there's prudence. There's knowing how to use that wisdom. Well, if firstly, it is derived from the fear of the Lord. Secondly, people too often think that accumulating knowledge and implementing information, human wisdom, will solve all of the world's problems. But history and life has shown us that that is not the case. God, you remember, declared to through the prophet Isaiah that he would destroy the wisdom of the wise. Paul, you remember, picks up that quotation and implies it in the first chapter of 1 Corinthians. He will destroy the wisdom of the wise. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? On Facebook. Where is the scribe on Twitter? The twittering politicos of our time. Where is the debater of this age on some other platform? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and folly to the Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Now, what is Paul saying? He's saying a whole lot of things, but one of the things that he's saying there, as he quotes from Isaiah chapter 29, is that Christians are fools. Yes, in the eyes of the world, Christians are fools. We are fools. Because we trust not the wisdom of the world, but the wisdom of God. Well, there's one more thing I want us to see here. It's a matter of life or death. Right at the very end of Proverbs 8, it's a matter of life or death. When you have biblical wisdom, it helps you die well. Charles Ward was a Union Army sergeant of the 32nd Massachusetts Volunteers, and in a letter home to his mother, he wrote, I hope I may come home again, but life here is uncertain. And he was right, for within days of writing that letter, he was mortally wounded in that bloody wheat field that is Gettysburg. He lingered for a while and wrote another letter to his mother. Dear mother, I may not again see you, but do not fear for your poor, tired soldier boy. Death has no fears for me. My hope is still firm in Jesus. Meet me and Father in heaven with all my dear friends. I have no special message to send to you, but bid you all a happy farewell, your affectionate and soldier son, Charles. If we are wise, we will follow Ward's example. By heeding the call of wisdom to live wisely and to die well. Father, we thank you. Thank you for Proverbs 8. And we pray that we might indeed discover true wisdom. The wisdom that is Genesis through Revelation. The wisdom that shines in the face of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the wisdom of God, that will enable us to live well and die well. For Jesus' sake, we ask it. Amen.